While you're taking your seats, I want to introduce the speaker this morning. It's Danya Hageman. Danya, I asked Danya, back in April or May, I was lining out the sermons that we're going to have for the next, 8, 10, 12 months, and I thought, you know what, Danya's got a message to share, and what are you doing? Come up here. She doesn't. I will. It's going to be a while. So I asked Danya, would you mind preaching for us on August the 18th? And she did what every Christian does when she doesn't want to do something. She says, I'll pray about it. And then 2 weeks later, I asked her, what has God told you about August 18th? And she said, I forgot about that. And so I said, you have 2 more weeks to decide, and she said, I'm going to do it. And so we've talked through this message here, and I feel like she has a message for me and for you, and especially in this time of transition, as families are going through this school transition and all the different things that happen at this time of year, Danya has something that God has given her to tell all of us. So if you would please welcome Danya Hageman.
Am I on? Oh, okay. I'm going to tell you the real story of how it all happened. I don't know. I think it was probably 5 years ago I told Dave that preaching a sermon was on my bucket list. And of all the years that Dave and I have been friends and he's been my pastor, that's the one thing that he remembers that I have ever said to him was that I wanted to preach a sermon. But that is actually true. I'm a big one. And on bucket lists. As a matter of fact, I had bucket lists before it was cool to be bucket lists. Mine says things that I'm going to do before I die is what mine says. And there's a lot that I haven't done yet. I have never seen an owl out in the wild. And I've never eaten an entire Texas sheet cake in one sitting. I mean cheesecake, yeah, duh, who hasn't done that? But not Texas sheet cake. There are some that I have done, though. I've hiked the Grand Canyon. I've been skydiving. As of a couple weeks ago, we went whale watching. And after today, I will have preached a sermon. So a few weeks ago, we did Donuts with Dave, and the question was asked, why do you like Engage Newark? And my answer was a very sincere one. But it was because I'm a hot mess and you guys love me anyway. And I just tell that story because I just want you to know that is my expectation of all of you, that after this train wreck of a sermon, you guys will love me anyway. I'm not sure. I think Dave explained why this particular Sunday. I wasn't real sure. I just thought that he was saying, let's see, I need someone to preach who seems like they're always going through something. Danya, yes, that would be perfect. I like to look at it as I'm always reinventing myself. It's not going through change, it's reinventing, kind of like Madonna. So you guys can call me Madonna. Oh my gosh, I was so dumb. I'm sorry. This is going to be a long 20 minutes. Sorry about that. Anyway, we're talking about going through transition, and as all of these people and children and administrators and teachers were up here just now, I was just really inspired by that because my whole family are teachers. My husband, my son-in-law, my daughter, my oldest daughter's a school counselor, and I see them go through a lot of transitions. Waiting for school to start, then waiting for school to end, and then, just starting it over and over again. But we're talking about that and going through, we all go through it. Whether it's from kindergarten to preschool to kindergarten, or middle school to high school to college, it's a transition each and every time. We've got new friends, new schools. It's change is just the one constant in life. This is my granddaughter, Neva. And this is a picture of her the first night that she transitioned from a crib to a big girl bed. And she rocked it. But that is just an example of just the normal, easy, natural progression of things. We all go through those times. But what about transitioning after a divorce, after a death of a spouse, or being alone for the first time, or empty nesting, sober living after years of addiction, moving, newly married, so many things that we go through that are transitions that are ones that we have not necessarily planned for and don't go quite as easily as it did for Neva. How we handle those times in our lives, how do we do it when we don't feel ready or equipped or prepared or strong enough to handle it? We're going to look at a story in the Bible where it kind of talks through that and a huge transition that a man went through in his life, Joshua. Scripture. We'll read this. This is Joshua 1, 6 through 9. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So let's talk about Joshua and what he was facing with the scripture passage. Joshua was elevated to leadership after the death of Moses. So Moses was a beloved guy. He was called to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, and he did for 40 years. They were wandering through the desert, and Moses was beloved to them. When he died, they mourned for 30 days. Back then, they usually mourned for 7, I think was the custom, but they mourned him for 30 days. Most of those people, Moses was the only leader that they ever knew. And Joshua, you know, he was his assistant for 40 years. So to Joshua, he was losing what was like a father figure to him. So that was a tough transition for all of them to make. Those were huge, huge shoes for him to fill. And what exactly was God asking him to do? Well, Moses had led him this far. Now it's Joshua's turn to lead him to the promised land. Well, that sounds like easy enough, right? Well, there was about, according to some things that I've read, there was about 2 million of them at this point. So here's Joshua leading 2 million people to the promised land. And history shows these people weren't the easiest to lead. You know, they were pretty stubborn group, pretty hard to please. So here's Joshua leading this group after, you know, Moses had them all of this time. And he was leading them to the promised land. I mean, this was everything that God had said that the promised land would be. I mean, it was location, location, location. You know, when they talk about that, it had great farmland. It had good water, had fertile soil. It was beautiful, patio seating, live music, you know, all of that good stuff that we want. The only problem was it was already occupied. It was occupied by a lot of people, and they were big giants who were really good at fighting. So they were going to get this land if they could conquer the land first. So Joshua felt completely unqualified and not ready to do that. So being the Game of Thrones fan that I am, you know, I'm reading this and I'm thinking, Joshua's a warrior. He probably looks about like this, walking into conquering this land. But in reality, Joshua probably looked more like this. He was an old guy by then. I mean, Bill, you're probably one of the most active seniors that I know. But would you be ready to conquer 2 million people with, you know, leading 2 million people into this at, you know, 70 some years old, 80 maybe? So he felt absolutely unqualified and not ready, not worthy, and terrified. Have you been there? Getting ready to go through a life change seems anything but through a life change that we're not ready for. How do we handle it? I remember going from eighth grade to high school. I was so afraid because my brother, and I don't know why I believe this, but my brother told us that seniors made the freshmen push pennies down the hall with their nose. And I was like, okay, how do I still look cute while I'm pushing a penny down the hall with my nose? Because as a freshman, that was really all that was important, was still looking cute. So that was, I was terrified of that. I lost sleep over that. In college, I was in a much different stage of life than most people in college. I turned in this huge paper. I was really proud of it. It was on, I don't know, analyzing gait through kinesiology, whatever. And I put it in a three-ring binder. I thought it was really good. I handed it to my professor, and in front of the whole class, she opened it up, and then she handed me this tiny little underwear, Little Mermaid underwear, because they were stuck in my binder, because that is what was in my backpack, because I was potty training a toddler at the time. And so I was completely prepared for potty training, but not necessarily prepared for going to college while I was raising kids. As we revisit the passage, we see what God says to Joshua, and it's pretty clear what his encouragement is. He says, be strong and courageous. He says it three times, along with telling him not to be dismayed and not to fear. Dave always says, if it's repeated in the Bible, then you better listen up. And that's it. He says, be strong and courageous, easy as that. Thanks for listening, and that's all we got to do, right? If only it was that easy, right? You know, the Bible, it tells us to be strong and courageous, but how? That's like me telling a patient of mine, just relax, as they just got done having knee surgery and I'm getting ready to, you know, pull his knee back as far as it will go. You know, just be strong and courageous. His instructions, I think, are found in verses 7 and 8. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be prosperous and successful. I think he's saying a couple of things here. Number one, stay in the Word. Arm yourself with Scripture so that you can commit to it and commit to it to memory and stand tall in it in the times when you need it. I've never been very good at quoting Scripture, so therefore, I have written some that have really helped me and put them on the table. So if you, it can be something that you can learn and draw from I went through a phase of like keeping it in my car and like giving myself flashcards and things like that. I'm over that. But arming yourself with these truths really will help you stay confident during those trying times when you can just think of those scriptures when they come to your mind. And they have helped me in so, so many times. It also says meditate on it day and night. That means don't just blurt them out. Live in it. Meditate on it. Speak about it. Pray on it. Surround yourself with like-minded people. And just get real firm in that foundation. The second instruction is to stay focused. When the scripture says, do not turn to your left or to your right, it reminds me of a horse, you know, with blinders on. And I thought, well, if horses, is it possible? Yes. You know, you Google anything and it just comes up. And I think I do a lot of my computer work at a coffee shop. And I just really need that when I'm at the coffee shop because I'm so concentrated on eavesdropping on conversations and figuring out life stories and wondering why someone's wearing sweatpants with cowboy boots. And, you know, I just need to focus. I have such a hard time doing that. But I tell my patients all the time, to stay focused and to run your own race and not to compare yourself with anyone else. One of the many times that I've been in counseling, I told you I was a hot mess, but one of the many times I was in counseling, I remember this story very well. I was really going through a hard time of just self-loathing and guilt and was really having a hard time getting out of it. And I remember my counselor saying, okay, we're going to do this exercise with you. So she put my journal in front of me with a pen in my hand, and she said, we're going to pray. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come into this place, and I'm going to pray with you. And when we get done praying, I want you to write the first thing that comes to your mind that describes you. So she did exactly that. We prayed. She asked the Holy Spirit to come in. We felt it. She prayed such a passionate prayer. And after that prayer, this is what I wrote. And I have looked on that many, many times since then, and have had to stand tall in that many, many times. How many of you have lost sleep crossing over into the unknown territory and not known how to be courageous? Andy Stanley is one of my favorite pastors, not my very favorite pastor, but on TV, I listen to him, his sermons a lot. And one series, he was talking about, do you guys know these people that just have been through so much in their life, yet they have this courage about them and this amazing faith? He interviewed a lot of them, and he said in all the cases, this one sentence just kind of came to all of them, and he said, how did you handle this? And what did you do to get through this? And every single time, in one way or another, they said, I just decided that I needed to do this, or I just decided it was time. And ultimately, that's exactly what it is. It's a decision. How many of us have had our knees buckle underneath us with news that we're going to be going through a sudden change that we're not ready for, that we didn't give our permission for, that we weren't prepared for or given a warning for? You know, I think all of us, you guys are my family. I know most of you. I know what you guys have gone through in your lives. And yet, you are here. And it's because each and every one of you and me have chosen, have made that decision to be courageous during these times of transition. The whole theme of the series was what to do when your neighbor, you know, your neighbor, won't you be my neighbor or whatever. So what do we do when it's our neighbor? Sometimes our neighbors are going through something. And there are those times, there are just times when you need to be strong for your neighbor when they can't. I have so many times, and the people who are closest to me know that there have been times when I'm like, I just can't even pray. I cannot even pray for this. You're going to have to do it for me. And they have. There have been so many times when my neighbor have stood in the gap for me and been strong for me when I couldn't. The time is going to come, and I'm sure there have already been times when your neighbor is going to say, I can't do it. You need to do it for me. Until they can. Finally, this is my favorite part. At the end of the passage, he states, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is one of the most quoted scriptures in the Bible. And this, in this particular passage, God is speaking to Joshua. He's not speaking to us. He tells Joshua, you're going to be successful and prosperous, and that's great. But in that particular moment, he wasn't speaking to us. Life is hard for us. We're not always prosperous, and we're not always successful, although a relationship with Jesus Christ certainly makes things a lot better. But I was just wondering, and in my process of this, I'm like, does that apply to us too? If he's speaking to Joshua, will God be with us wherever we go? That's my shortest answer of this whole message, and it's a resounding yes. Jesus being the greater Joshua, he has led us. He has gone before us. He has led us, his people, to the promised land. He has conquered our fears, conquered our times when we're not strong. And he went before us and did that for us on the cross. He was strong and courageous on our behalf. So that's my encouragement to you. He has already done that. You guys are here because you have chosen to be strong and courageous, just like I have chosen to be strong and courageous. Thank you.